It's wonderful for us to be here with you guys for the first time. My brother was here last year, Andy, and I'm certainly not as fun-loving as he is. I tend to be a little more serious. But I hope I can get you to smile at least a few times this morning. Acts 10 is certainly one of my favorite passages, and I wanted to dwell this morning a little bit. It's somewhat controversial, but it's something that usually really helps us to see what is inside of us and what is holding back often a global mission. And so one of my theories for why it is that we as a church are so huge and well-resourced and yet have so little penetration into the hardest places is really based on this unusual stronghold that all of us are born with. We're all born with sin. And one of the aspects of that sin, and in fact, as South Africans, we probably know it the best of any nation, we're born with a favoritism. We're born with a tendency to like and want to be with those who are like us. We are born with an inbuilt ethnic, linguistic liking for those who are like us. And we, of course, in South Africa became the most professional and perfectionist at defining this very sin. And so we called it apartheid. And we said, if you look like me and you talk like me and you're the same color as me, then you're together, we love each other and we help each other. And if you're not, then, you know, be separate. And so this, and yet it's not only in South Africa. My mind has been blown away as I lived for 20 years in Central Asia, and we lived in Uzbekistan, and just next to Uzbekistan was Kazakhstan. And I began to realize that the Uzbek people, when I mentioned Kazakh people, there was this raising up of their hair and this chronic, deep hatred. For what reason? The Kazakhs spoke a very similar language. Their religion, Islam, was the same. Their food was so similar. Their traditions and cultures were almost a mirror of each other. And yet they hated each other. It was unexplainable. And then I found myself one day on a ferry from France across to London. And I was outside just enjoying, and there was a couple of British guys next to me, probably in their mid-20s, and they were having a few beers, so they might well have been a little along the way already. But the theme of their conversation was to say just how stupid, how ridiculous, how crazy those French people were, and how much they disdained them and thought absolutely nothing of them. And the swear words and adjectives used about the French are unrepeatable. And there was this deep-seated disdain and dislike for those who are not like us. And so it seems an incredible stronghold. And so when somebody says to you, right, instead of helping, the poor here in Fishhook, take some funds and send it to Uzbekistan to help a missionary to reach the Uzbeks. The tendency is to say, no, but our people here, we need to help those who are here. There's so much need here. Why go beyond? And so that's the fight I want us to continue winning. This morning, that's what I'm hoping to convince you to continue doing, is doing the exact opposite of what our nature, what our inclination, what our normal desires would have us do, which is to look after those, to care for those, to pray for those who are like us or closest to us. And this morning I want to come back to the passage and come back to Acts 10, because I believe there's two most outstanding and unbelievable and just outlandish moments in this passage which are unbelievable. And so the first one comes, you would have heard the passage, Cornelius has this incredible angelic revelation, sends off his people to Joppa, and Peter, just before they come, sees the strange vision. In the story, we're trying to figure out, now why is Peter seeing these funny animals on this tablecloth, and God's talking about animals on a tablecloth? I mean, why? What's that got to do with the story? And then these people arrive and take him back to Cornelius' house. And then, of course, Peter arrives at Cornelius' house. Cornelius has got his family and friends there. And if you've got your Bibles, I want to take you back there quickly. Because you aren't going to believe what I say. You've read it, but I'm going to remind you again, and you're not going to believe it. So I want us to just read it again. We're going to pick up, we're going to pick up at verse 27, Peter has just walked in, Cornelius bows before him, and Peter says, look, don't do that. I'm just a normal man, stand up, you know, stand up. And then he says in verse 27, while talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. And 28. He then said to them, incredible words that come out of Peter's mouth. You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. And so when I was sent for, I came without making any objection. May I ask, why have you sent for me? Now let's remember, this is Peter, who was one of the closest disciples who walked with Jesus. For 3 years, he was within 1 meter of Jesus Christ. And the last words Jesus says to him, Peter, I want you to go into all the world. And I want you to find every Jew that's out there and only tell them about this good news. Is that what Jesus said? Because that seems to me, what Peter heard, right? Jesus says to him, go into the world and every single nation and race that you can find, go and tell them my good news. Now, I can't imagine what Peter must have been thinking as he says, you know, according to our law, I can't even visit you, my Jewish law. I can't associate with you or visit you. Now, how he imagined that he was going to preach this good news to all the world with still having that kind of understanding. You know, did he imagine that he would stand on this side of the river and say, hey, you Greeks over there, sorry, I can't come to that side, but I want to tell you about this amazing God that loves you, and this is the good news. Well, hey, come and tell us over a meal. Oh, sorry, I can't actually eat with you guys. You're impure and unclean. I'm not able to share a meal with you. Do you see what I'm saying? And so Peter, having the Holy Spirit in him, having walked with Jesus, having been through Pentecost, having experienced every imaginable, incredible spiritual blessing, still is held by this most incredible stronghold of ethnic blindness and this limited vision of knowing just how broad and amazing God's love is. And so he even ends by saying, can you tell me why you sent me? Jesus says, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. He finds himself in front of an amazing crowd of people who don't know anything about Jesus. And he says, now why did you guys send me? And I often am amazed at the statistics, you know, having been someone who worked in the Muslim world. The thing which got me to go as a young student into Uzbekistan, you know, I'd just graduated from Rhodes University. I, you know, had a distinction in accounting. I had a whole lot of invitations from top companies to come and get a job. Instead, I got on a plane to a country I'd never even heard of. Why? You see, because I had been presented by a statistic which said that the Christian world, of every 100 missionaries that we sent out, not even one was sent to the Muslim world. More than 99 out of 100 we sent to countries that were already Christian. Not completely, but they were already within a Christian framework. And so the guy who was presenting the statistics to me as a student was saying, who of you are willing to go where nobody else will go? And then I said, Lord, I'm going to the Muslim world. And still today we find a chronic hesitancy by us as a church to throw people, funds, resources, prayer into the Muslim world, because our thinking is, we're the Christian world, they are the Muslim world. The world system has also helped us to fall into this trap of defining, we are the Christian world and they are the Muslim world. And we even fall into this trap of, as the Christian world, what's our main issue with Islam right now? We have to protect ourselves. We have to protect the Christian world from the Muslim world invading it too much. Have you ever heard that? Has anyone ever said that? When you hear that again, can you please shout, oh no? Because God is not about a Christian world that is trying to protect itself against other worlds. God, his kingdom is advancing. God's kingdom is about going and winning every other world that exists. We are not in protection mode. We are in conquering mode. And if you have a Muslim that suddenly moved next door, your response should be, fantastic. Now I can reach out to them and show them love, because it was quite a long way to go to get to the Cape Flats. But now they're in Fishhook. Wonderful. Because I can just walk to them now and tell them about Jesus. And this is the whole change that God is passionate and hoping for in his kingdom. So the first shock moment is this amazing thing that Peter still believes he can't associate with Gentiles. I mean, he got nothing from Jesus on that front. And so the next one, as we go down, the last verse we read, if we can pop over to verses 35. After Cornelius then explains to Peter, look, the reason I sent for you is I got this vision from an angel. I love God, and I know you've got something special to tell me. And so please, you know, what have you got to say? And so Peter then says, in verse, is that 34? Verse 34, yes. Peter began to speak, and he says, I now realize. I now realize that God does not show favoritism. It takes sometimes God telling us 50 times over that he does not show favoritism. And here Peter, who listened to Jesus saying, God so loved the whole world that he sent his son. That's why I'm here, Peter. And then he says, don't be afraid because you will go to nations and you will stand before kings and you will represent my gospel to nations. And then there's Jesus interacting with the Samaritan woman and to Greeks and to people from all different nations. And then there's Jesus' final parting words. Go to all nations. And then there's the Holy Spirit coming down in Pentecost. And suddenly people speaking in every imaginable language at that Pentecostal moment. And Jesus, reminds them, start in Jerusalem, but go to the ends of the earth. And there's all of these multiple moments of teaching to Peter, and he still got in his mind, God favors the Jews, and that's it. That's all there is to this mission that I have. And so it takes this weirdest of things, this tablecloth of strange animals. And that's the thing that convinces him. And I'm saying, but were you there when Jesus said that to you and then went into heaven? I mean, isn't that a crescendo moment that you'd never forget what he said? And yet it took another moment of miracles from God to break his trap that he was in. So I'd like to end by just saying that our God is incredible. He has no favorites. He does not look at his children like some earthly fathers or mothers do. And the one child may look so much like you, may be just exceptional, and you find yourself favoring them. Or you may be from the tribe that the president's from, and find yourself being favored because you're from his tribe, and the rest are not. That is not our God. He is so passionate and so loving towards every nation and every race and every tongue. And let us try to imitate him in our actions and in our everyday lives. Let's pray together. Father God, we do want to thank you that you are the God of all nations. And in fact, God, you would not be worthy to be called God if there was one inch of this planet that you did not claim for your own. If there was one tribe, if there was one group of 10 people whom you said, that's okay. They don't have to honor and glorify me. That would make you less than God. You are God by definition, to whom all glory and honor belongs. And every voice, every person on this earth belongs to you. We praise your name, Jesus. Amen. Oh,
And it's about you. But I certainly feel that that is a very, very direct challenge to us. Thank you, Jeremy. I think we all need to adjust our thinking.